Bravo, 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 bravo. Yo, 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 it's the 1409 podcast. I go by the name of KT.
It's your boy, Gualamese World.
Hey, man, welcome to episode 196. Almost at 200. Almost at 200. With almost 200 episodes strong. 200. Can I get 200? Can I get 21?
So to the highest bidder, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. We got special guests in here, man. You know what I'm saying? Straight out of Huntsville, Alabama. Born and raised. Got Mr. Anthony Sales in the building, man. How you living? How you living?
What's going on? What's happening? It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you, man. Good to have you. You tapped in with some great people. We tapped in at a great place. You know what I'm saying? I know your upbringing was great. We're gonna get into all that for real, though. But for the listeners and the viewers out there that may not know, can you let them know what do you do?
Yeah, man. I'm an actor, man. I perform arts and crafts behind the screen, behind the television, behind the camera.
You in front of the camera, or you behind the camera? You both. You do both.
Well, I'm mainly in front of the camera. I should have said that. But I do work on being behind the camera pretty soon. So
man, you done said it. You done put it out there. So you're gonna be on both sides of the camera pretty soon, man.
That boy gonna be in the camera. gonna be in the camera.
Oh yeah. You know, you gotta hit this industry from all angles. So in order for you to actually, you know, prestige, sometimes you got to get in different places to make things happen. So for sure.
I tell you, we use that word a lot. Every time somebody say that, I'm trying to press the button, but we say it a lot. So I don't know, man. So what was it like growing up in Huntsville?
Honestly, growing up in Huntsville is one of the best things to happen to me, because this place is where a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, get a chance to actually blow up. Everything mm-hmm. is in a work in progress, you know, here in Huntsville. It's a building city. So me being from Huntsville, living is pretty, you know, reasonable. Or well, it's not getting reasonable now because prices are going up. It's going to be just like Atlanta pretty soon. But growing up in Huntsville, everything was like, you know, I grew up around a lot of entrepreneurs. So I had a lot of vision, you know, a lot of vision of what I wanted to do, because I seen people doing what I wanted to do. I seen a lot of actors and actresses come out of Huntsville and really make a way for us. Debbie Ryan on Disney Channel. I looked up to her growing up. So growing up in Huntsville, wanting to be, you know, an actor, an aspiring actor, it was fairly, you know, easy, because I had a plain vision and I just started pursuing it. So, yeah.
Oh, man, that's real. Up, man? Real life, man. So we're gonna do a little game real quick, you know what I'm saying? We're gonna say a word and you say whatever comes to mind, you know.
So okay.
You ready for that?
For sure.
Huntsville,
Rocket City. Rocket. Huntsville, Alabama. The city of space, the city of engineers, creators, entrepreneurs, world class people, you know. When I think of Huntsville, I think of the world, Space and Rocket Center.
I got to ask this one. You're an actor. He an actor. You making headline news. Will Smith.
Jaden Smith. That's what I think of. Jaden Smith. When I say Will Smith, I think of Jaden Smith, because his son is next in line. People don't know it. I was competing with him for the Miles Morales role. Spoiler alert. Jaden Smith got Miles Morales, and I'm proud of him for that. You know, I couldn't see nobody more fit than Jaden Smith. But when I think of Will Smith, I think of legacy. I think of prestige. I think of family. It's how he put his whole family on. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
All his sons going to make it. All his sons going to be the next Smith. So it is what it is. When I think of Will Smith, I think of a solid guy. So, and Shana Will Smith.
Drop the fire, man. What do you think about the new Bel Air? I know the first Bel Air came out probably before he was born, because it came out before I was born too. So
you know what? I ain't seen the new Bel Air yet. I ain't seen it.
You seen it?
I ain't seen it yet, but I heard a lot of good stuff about it. I know the guy that booked the role as Will, Jabari Banks. Cool dude, man. Jabari Banks, I watched him rise as an actor, and just to see him book that breakthrough role on Bel Air, he's set up for the rest of his career. I see a bright young man out of Jabari Banks, and I can't wait to work with him. I'm gonna work with him one day. That's one of my goals, is to work with Jabari Banks and to, you know, be cool with him and, you know, have a connect, you know, with him. So yeah, Jabari Banks, cool guy, great actor. Much blessings to you.
More life, man. That's real right there. You really saluting the people out here. You're not out here trying to bring anybody down. You all about collaboration, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
And not to kind of move backwards, but I got my favorite water here, made by Jaden Smith himself. It's called he's an avatar. He's specifically a waterbender. I'm drinking just water. It's the best spring water I have had in a long time. And for water enthusiasts, you know, all water don't taste the same. So go to Whole Foods or wherever local store you go to and pick you up some just water. It's the best spring water. It's 100% natural spring water. Go and get that, man. And more life. More life.
More life. More water, more life. For sure. For sure.
For sure. For sure.
I like that. You should
hit that other button.
Which one?
Shots button, man. You got some just water.
Oh, that button got replaced with the last button I just pressed. Oh,
man.
Yeah, we're trying to get a little healthy in 2022. So I just, you know what I'm saying? If you still got the button, then you know.
I don't got the button.
Give me a little sweet.
So what high school did you attend out here?
Okay, so I attended Buckhorn High School in New Market, Alabama.
Oh, that's very close.
The first high school, actually, because I transferred to Buckhorn like mid high school, like in 11th grade. But I went to Sparkman High School at first. I spent most of my life at Buckhorn, though, like in the area. So Mount Carmel, Riverton, and then Buckhorn. But I graduated from Buckhorn High School. So it's not too far from, you know, where we at. So. Yeah,
it's very close. That's
shout out to everybody that I went to school with. I love all of y'all. I hope I'm an inspiration to y'all, and I know y'all watch me, so I'm gonna be on my P's and Q's. Hey, to all my teachers at Buckhorn, I love every last one of y'all. Y'all taught me a lot. Other than school lessons, y'all taught me life lessons, and I really appreciate y'all for the sovereignty that y'all have in handling kids, you know, in this generation, because it's not easy. So I appreciate y'all. And I also want to appreciate my coaches from high school, everybody that was involved in my athletics. Y'all, I don't say much, but I really, you know, y'all mean a lot to me. And I really appreciate y'all for building me into the man I am today. So, yeah.
For sure.
That's real. What sports did you play?
I played football. I was a football fanatic. When I was in high school, like, I grew up going to football camps. When I was in elementary all the way up until high school, I went to football camps. I went to friends' houses training to play football because, you know, our goal, you know, Ja'Kevion, you know, Heath Hill, Angel Montoya's, y'all know what it was like in high school. Y'all know we was out there putting in work on and off the field, you know, trying to make, you know, our dreams come true as athletes and wanting to go to college and play football. We really took football to like a serious note. Like, it was crazy.
Did you play DB?
Yep. I was
you look like a safety or defensive back. I was gonna say that.
Yeah, not to brag, but I was the reason I started and the reason I was good at what the reason I was a, you know, highly sought after cornerback in this, you know, in the state of Alabama was because I just knew what I was doing. I'm small. I'm not that big. I'm 5'7". You know, right now, I lost a lot of weight since high school, but I'm way underweight. But basically, you know, what made me a value on the field was I knew what I was doing. I knew what coverages to call because of, you know, how the offense was set up. I was good. I was a field general. I really should have played safety, but I was a dog, and that was another reason. I was just not afraid to hit nobody. So that was the reason I was a pretty good cornerback. But yeah, football. It's crazy. Yeah, that was
memories. Football or acting?
Acting, man. Let me tell you why. Acting, first of all, I love what I do. Just imagine waking up every day doing what you love. You only gonna get better at it. You know, you only gonna, you know, figure out new ways to get better at it. Football, it was cool, but being like playing football is like being in a car wreck, you know what I'm saying? Like multiple times. That stuff ain't fun. Football ain't fun. It's not for the faint-hearted. Acting, on the other hand, you know what I'm saying? I meet new people, I network, I prestige, I make money, I do all of this earlier than football, because football is it's a different process, especially if you're not a mutant. If you're a mutant, 6'5", 300, then things can move a little bit faster. But I'm 5'7", 130.
130?
130.
I got a homeboy that's 130 too. Shout out to him.
And the thing is, but listen, like, the thing is, with acting, it's good for me. The fact that I'm like Tom Holland, people don't know he's 5'8". He's short. When you're short, when you have a low center of gravity, it's better for the camera for some reason. And, you know, everything is just, I could play, you know, my age range in acting is, I can play somebody that's 15 years old and I can play somebody that's 23 years old. That's my age range. And what they call that in the acting industry is your sweet spot. So I'm in my sweet spot right now. So that's another reason I choose acting over football. But one of my dreams is to do a movie or a show where I'm playing football, because I think it'll be fun. Kind of mixing both of my loves together, both of my passions.
Like All American?
Like All American. Perfect example. Perfect. Yeah. Something like that.
Hey, see, I'm right here with you. I'm right here with you, man. Oh, yeah. So football, basically, it's a lot of wear and tear on your body, but you don't have to deal with that with acting unless you're doing stunts.
Exactly. And you're more prone to get injured and have like lifelong injuries from football. Mm-hmm. Like I could recollect a very scary situation that happened to me during practice. I don't talk about it much. I didn't even tell like my parents about it, but you know, because it was a stinger. That's what they call it. It was a stinger, but we were doing this drill called Oklahoma drill. And I was going up against this dude named Dale Pettis. He's a cornerback for Troy right now. Pretty solid dude. He's breaking records right now. But we went into this drill called Oklahoma. This was my sophomore year of high school. I had the ball. I was offense. He was defense. Coach tossed the ball. I get the ball. I ran head straight right into his chest. I hit him so hard. I knocked myself out. But when I woke up, like, it was like a split second knockout. It wasn't like I was knocked out cold, but it was like a little, you know, a stinger. And I couldn't feel part of my arm.
How long did that go on?
It was for like a second and a half, maybe a little less than a second and a half, but I quickly gained all of my feeling. But I found out what happened was it's a nerve that connects to your, it's like right here where your trap is, and it connects to your arm and your brain. And I strained it. That's what that was. I strained it and put some ice on it and went. Football, you can't, like, I don't care what people say. Coaches will talk about, be tough, do this, do that. Let us know when, you know, when you're around a bunch of football players and they see you weak, you can't say nothing. I ain't say nothing. I gained all my strength back, though. I was benching weight after that, but that was a scary situation.
Yeah, they say you've seen stars. That's what they're saying in the comments.
I got my doors knocked off. That's what they call it. Get your doors knocked down.
Hey, man. That's what comes with the game.
Come with the game. If you ain't ready to, get to the back of the line. I was always in the front of the line at Oklahoma drill.
Hey,
reminiscing right now.
Go ahead and describe what do you do in that drill. That's when you laying on your back, and then you
You could do that. There's so many ways you could do it. The worst way is when you laying on your back, because that's not the worst way. The worst way is when you get a running start. The Oklahoma drill we was doing, you had to get a running start. So it's two lines opposing each other. You get two old line, you get an offensive lineman, you get a defensive lineman blocking for you. If they suck, good luck. You run straight through that hole or whatever hole they open up for you, whatever gap they decide to open up for you, and lower your head. Boom. It's a stupid drill. It make you tough. It teach you technique because out of fear, but I wouldn't recommend it to any team or anything. Alabama doesn't even do that. They're the best team in the whole world.
Isn't that the same thing like Bull in the Ring? Y'all ever did that drill?
Oh, yeah. We did Bull in the Ring, but Bull in the Ring is better because you're not clashing. Like, you're not, like straight up hitting each other, like, at full force. Like, Bull is like, the Bull in the Ring is like where you kind of lay on your back and you get up and you, boom, jam them in their chest. And then whoever win, you know, that's how that go.
That ain't what we call Bull in the Ring. Pretty much, like, with us, it's a big-ass circle. And then you got, like, the one player in the middle of the circle, and then they just call a number and whatever. Oh, like you got to be like, you know what I'm saying? Then y'all hitting each other, like basically like Oklahoma, like y'all clapping each other. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. You get a 300-pound dude coming at you, you get a 130 dude coming at you. You don't know who's gonna come. They just calling numbers.
Right. That's just the way, that's exactly how that was too. Cause I remember Tyshawn called me out one time. Big dude. Throw me into the ground. I had to eat that. Ate it. And I had a lot of respect for it, but I ain't into that. I don't like getting 300 pounds laid up on me like that.
Yeah.
they'll dead weight you. So it happened. But yeah, that's football.
What was your proudest moment in football? Let's go with that.
Ooh. My proudest moment in football. Man. I know what it was. It was against Giles County. This was my freshman year of high school. Of course, freshman year, everything was easier. But I caught a pick in a really nice way. I snatched that out the receiver's hands. I didn't even just catch it. We both caught it, but I snatched it out of his hand and won the ball. And then I ran with it. I ain't score, but I thought, you know, me basically manhandling the ball out of his hand was a highlight for me in my high school career. So. Yeah,
that's real right there. What did you bring from the football field into the acting game? What fundamentals or anything did you bring?
The knowledge and wisdom of respect in the process. Mm-hmm. Things don't come overnight. A lot of principles I took from football, I translated it to acting because it's kind of one and the same. You know what I'm saying? If you want to get better in acting, you got to train. You might have to join acting classes. In football, if you want to get better, you got to train on and off the field, outside of school and in a school system. You got to get a part of a team and train. And then another phase is, you know, performance on game day. When it's time to perform on set, we ain't finna keep doing this one scene until you get it right. You're going to get it right. At least in five takes. In football, that kind of translated, you know, when it came to like in when it's game time as a cornerback, you on an island. You know, you gotta make it happen. Either that receiver gonna catch the ball or he not. And we ain't finna keep, you know, getting snagged on all day. So it's a lot of stuff I translated from football to acting. And it was a little, you know, tough at first to do that, but as I, you know, gain traction, I began to really go with the flow and like kind of think about football when it came to acting, and it made everything a little bit easier on me. So mentally, yes, all of that translated to acting from football.
For sure.
Good answer, man.
Did you have any like drama classes and stuff like that in high school?
That's crazy. I had a lot of people ask me that question. No, I never did theater. I never did drama because I'm going to be honest, back in high school, I was so focused on football. All else was like nothing. Like I'm not going to do it. Like I wasn't even thinking about trying out for the basketball team. I was just so focused on football. So football took a lot of my attention away from everything else. So, yeah. And I'm actually glad because I'm glad people know. And I think it's cool because a lot of people that was in drama in high school looking at me now like, dang, why didn't you join drama? Why didn't you join theater? Bro, you would have been great. I'm like, nah, I like the element of surprise. Y'all ain't know I was like this. So I love that. I love that that curiosity of everybody not knowing what I'm really, you know, into. I like that. So I kind of use that a part of my inventory as well. The element of surprise. I like that.
Did anybody in your family have any acting background or anything? Or did you just decide to do it? Okay.
I have some. Look. Okay. So it's not many. I got like, man, let me think. Okay. So I'm going to name one of them. Norm Lewis. He's a actor on Broadway. And that's my, what is it? You know how cousins go. It's like first, second, third, fourth. You know, that type of
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, he like that. But Norm Lewis is my cousin. I have a first cousin in Hollywood right now. His name is Marcus Bailey. He was born and raised in Norway. But that's my first cousin. That's my grandfather's son, which makes him my first cousin. So basically, Marcus, he's been on, like, we have American Idol. He's on Norwegian Idol. He's the host for that. Marcus also has a talk show in Norway. He just moved to LA. He actually did a voiceover for this Disney movie. I think it might have been Frozen. Disney's Frozen. Google Marcus Bailey. He is he's a Norwegian actor. I don't know if he's considered an American actor. I think he was actually born in America and he moved to Norway at a young age.
Norwegian-American.
Norwegian-American. Let's just say that because, yeah, I don't want to, it's my family, and if I say the wrong thing, like, how you not know that? I'm sorry, man. I ain't. But I have a third cousin. He's actually here in Huntsville. His name is Reggie Lewis. Reggie Lewis, he does a lot of plays here. He's a director and an actor, stage actor specifically. And he just had he just recently finished a play called Right Man, Wrong Time.
Mm-hmm.
Really great play. Man, he makes so many excellent plays, man. What was the last one? I think it was, it slips my name, but he does this, man. He does his thing. He's an excellent actor and director. And that's my third I can think of off top of actors and actress in my family.
I was trying to find that Marcus Bailey. This wouldn't happen to be, that's not him, is it?
No, it's not Marcus. Okay. Typing Marcus Bailey, NRK TV. That's one of the programs he runs. Marcus Bailey. It's with a K.
Okay, that's why we're coming up.
Yeah, Marcus Bailey.
Marcus Bailey, what? NRK TV?
For NRK. NRK, Norwegian. I think it's, yeah. It should show up. There you go. Oh, there you go.
That's him. Okay, okay.
Yo. That's Marcus. I was in that one right there. Well, hold on. No, I wasn't. He did a documentary, and I was like 6 or 7 years old when he did that documentary.
So you was on the screen early on, even though you just picked up acting a few years ago, for real.
Yeah, he kind of prompted me to go ahead and do it. I talked to him. I said, you know, I want to be an actor too, man. I want to be an actor too. He's like, you can do it. I said, how do I get started? He said, to be honest with you, half the job is just knowing people. But if you work hard, you know, work on your craft, get into acting classes, take it serious, anything is possible. You can do it too. Lo and behold, doing it. You know what I'm saying? So appreciate you, Marcus. One love.
And for the listeners out there, what's your catalog looking like so far?
I want to go ahead and start off with this movie I finished up called God of Dreams. It's directed by Jurian Isabel. God of Dreams is a movie about people who, it was basically, it's placed in the future. So at the time in the movie, dreaming was illegal. If you had a goal, you had a dream, you couldn't do it because it was illegal. And it was basically like the apocalypse. Everybody had to take a placebo pill. And when you took this placebo pill, you were basically brainwashed into thinking it was basically a sin to dream your goals and to, you know, pursue your own life and working in something like, you know, say for instance, I'm an actor in the movie. It's a group of kids in there that are facing trial and tribulation and trying to keep their dreams a secret, but they couldn't help but to dream together. And it's a weird story, but it's a dope movie.
Is that it right there?
Yes. God of Dreams.
You mind if we put that trailer up on the screen? Put that trailer up on the screen, man. Shout out to Tech Support, man. You know, Tech Support always doing something. Tech Support is always out here making things happen. You know what I'm saying? So we going.
Welcome to the future. Your dreaming is
unfortunately
our nation's government passed laws restricting dreams. In an attempt
we're gonna
to
get that right.
Don't
worry about it. We're gonna get that right. We're gonna get that all the way together.
It was playing.
It was dope.
Oh, you could hear it?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they could hear it.
It was a little weird to me how it was.
Guess how long it took us to film that movie?
I would say a few months. And what it usually is, it was less than that.
It was less.
So what, 2 weeks?
About two and a half.
2.5 weeks?
Two and a half. I think, no, matter of fact, 4 in total, you know, other than the acting. It took about 4 weeks. It took about a month.
About a solid month.
A solid month. Yeah, it was a solid month. It was fairly quick. People don't even realize. And there was so much like CGI. And then the fact that we filmed it in a short amount of time was actually impressive. So people don't know, man.
Can y'all hear it?
We're dreaming.
Yeah.
Our nation's government passed laws restricting dreams.
I just can't hear
nothing. To stabilize and save the failing system. Didn't you watch what happened today?
Shout out to all the cast members of Part of God of Dreams. Y'all killed it. Keyshawn Pettigrew.
Go!
Shout out. Killed it.
It's up to us to wake up.
It was lit. You were an incredible actor. You were natural.
What did you see?
We have to go.
And you gave it. You gave it, man. Shout out to Jerry and Isabel, our director. You know, you told us what we need to do. We got it done. We executed it because of your excellent vision and guidance. I appreciate you for that.
Yeah, that's on Prime Video. Have to check that out tonight.
That is on Prime Video. Y'all go check it out, man. God of Dreams.
For sure, man.
Hit that button one time.
For sure. Man, that's real right there, man. I'm rocking with that for real. All love out here, man. Shout out to everybody tuned in. I could not hear that trailer. I don't know if you could hear the trailer just now, but everybody else said they can hear it. So
yeah, we can hear the trailer.
As long as y'all can hear it, I'm gonna hear the whole movie tonight after this.
So, who are some of your actors that you look up to in the industry?
One of the guys I actually just finished up a gig with, Kevin Quinn, big Disney star. I look up to him. He's been in a place where I wanted to be for a very long time on Disney Channel as a show lead. He starred on Bunked, and that's one of the shows I grew up watching. So he was kind of one of my my biggest inspirations as a young actor, because he's only 24 years old, and I see myself, you know, in a place where he is one day. You know, so he's one of the guys. Another guy I looked up to is, and I mentioned him earlier, Jaden Smith. Mm-hmm. Jaden Smith, man, all my cousins and my brothers, we grew up watching Jaden Smith.
Karate Kid.
That's actually the movie I was thinking of too, you know, growing up watching Jaden Smith. Other than Pursuit of Happiness, Jaden Smith, he played his tail off in Karate Kid. Yeah. Man, I get bashed for this all the time. I think the Karate Kid with Jaden Smith is better than the first Karate Kid, to be honest with you. I mean, a black kid, you know, in Japan learning Kung Fu. That's a fire story, you know what I'm saying? Outweighing all the stereotypes, you know, that was fire. Like, and then he actually trained and learned Kung Fu. He's one of the best. People don't give him his credits, man. Jaden Smith is one of the best to ever do it, especially at our age. Jaden Smith, bro. Look, man, we got a collab
I thought he's about to pull out some stats. He's going to pull out some stats.
For real. Like, bro, Jaden Smith, he is a jack of all trades. He's a Swiss Army knife. He can rap. He can stunt. He can do stunts. He can do all his own stunts. And he can act his tail off. Like, that's the ideal actor you want. Somebody that's... And then he is so, like, ingrained into his craft, he will even go on for months dieting for a specific role. He'll mm-hmm. change his diet, and he'll do, like, a... He'll even do a Daniel fast. This dude is, like, he's real health conscious. So he's definitely somebody I look up to as a person, for one. And for two, as an actor, Jaden Smith definitely make... You top one. You number one on my list, to be honest. Then it's Kevin Quinn. Another guy I look up to is Will Smith, of course. Will Smith, I grew up watching all of his movies growing up. And not just because I watched all of his movies, but he's a good guy, you know? He's a good guy. And he's a level-headed guy for his resume. A lot of people who build a resume like that tend to get very arrogant, you know what I'm saying? Very humble guy and somebody I look up to in this industry. So, Will Smith, hey, man, look, hats off to you for your level-headedness and your humbleness at such a prestigious stage in your life, for one, and for always being that way on the way up. One of my favorite movies from Will Smith, a lot of people don't actually know about this movie, but it's called Hitch. And Hitch, in the movie, his name is Alex Hitchens. Hitch was a love doctor. And he had this swagger about him that I always wanted. You know what I'm saying? So I used to, I really like that movie for that reason too. And how well he played his role. In another movie I like that Will Smith did was Pursuit of Happiness. Dog, that's literally my favorite movie of all time. So Will Smith, I mean, Smith family is really, they can't miss. You know what I'm saying? So Will Smith, Jaden Smith, y'all on top of it. But I'm gonna list my top five. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna list my top five. So that's what, three? Jaden Smith, Will Smith, Kevin Quinn.
Yep.
Number four, guess who it is?
Yourself.
Nah, not yet.
Let me see. Michael B. Jordan.
That's a good one.
Denzel.
Excellent one. It's Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
People don't give him his credit either. Jamie Foxx is fire. Jamie Foxx is fire. If you don't think Jamie Foxx is an Oscar, an actor that is prone to win Oscars sooner. I mean, I don't know who. You got to be in the bushes. You got to be in the woods right now.
He got one? Yeah, for Ray.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. See, look, Jamie Foxx, I put him in that same bracket as Will. He's able to do it all. You name it, he can do it.
It's crazy. I don't see how Will ain't get one for Muhammad Ali. Well, Ali. Yeah,
I was just going to say that, bro. He didn't get one until last night. That's crazy.
Yeah, for King Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Will, he do his thing, man. So yeah, Jamie Foxx, man. Hey, and he's Electro in the Marvel Cinematic Universes, which he is well deserving of. So I applaud you for that, Jamie. Hands, you know, a hand clap for that. Mm-hmm. Jamie Foxx.
Speaking of Will, sir. Will
so
Smith.
Number five, huh?
Will Smith, you remember 7 pounds? That was a good
pounds. One. I think, yeah. Mm. Yeah, that was five too. And Concussion. That's another one too.
Concussion. Will Smith do got a crazy catalog. I am Legend, I Robot.
Yeah, I Robot was my shit.
Fun fact. In I Am Legend, Will Smith was the only actor in that movie, and it was still five. On to the next. Man, look, let me tell y'all something. Y'all better stop playing with his name on everything. Y'all better stop playing with that last name, Smith. Everybody got a crazy catalog in that family. Mm-hmm. Jada Pinkett was doing movies too. She was an actress. She still is. Like Jada Pinkett, man, yeah, they
still,
all the truth.
Still an actress for sure.
Man, that's a family right there. But number five, let's hit number five. All right. A lot of people going to bash me for this one, but he's one of my foundational inspirations growing up. Like for real. And that's Shawn Mecklenburg.
I thought he was going to say Orlando Brown.
Nah. No disrespect to Orlando. Hey, you did your thing out there in the Disney universe. Sticky. Or whatever. But Shawn Mecklenburg, man. Look.
Oh, yeah, I got you. Yeah, buddy Raw.
Yeah, Shawn Mecklenburg, he the truth. And he earned his way to the top. Shawn Mecklenburg is one of them dudes that he ain't have it like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have that leverage like everybody else. He literally had the bread and butter grind his way to the top. And he did it at such an early age. He signed a Cartoon Network when he was like 11, 12 years old. Mm-hmm. Busting his tail, you know, grinding and just putting in the work. Now, he did the voiceover for guess who? Miles Morales, Spider-Man.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know you would have been good for that role because you kind of look like Miles Morales.
People say people want me to be Spider-Man. I want me to be Spider-Man. The beautiful thing about Marvel is they have different universes. Mm-hmm. You know, they had the Spider-Man No Way Home. It was three different Spider-Man. That made me happy because I'll always have a chance at actually playing Miles Morales. I'll always have a chance. So even if Jaden Smith has booked this Miles Morales spot for now, hey, I still got the chance. And I see myself playing Miles Morales in the future. I want to let y'all know this. Well, we're going to say that for later. But it's something coming down the pipeline. I feel like I'm still in the conversation. I've spoken to the director for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Mm-hmm. He said it was by Peter Ramsey. I appreciate you, Peter Ramsey, for reaching out to me as well. that meant a lot to me. But he said, Peter Ramsey said, I'm a very convincing Spider-Man. I'm a very convincing Miles Morales. He said, all I would have to do is get some work done, put in some work, work with some heavy hitters, get my acting classes in, you know, show that I'm profitable, show them that I'm marketable, show that I have the value and what it takes to actually take, you know, that leap of faith and getting into something as big as the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He said, and I got the messages. It's not what I'm saying is not word for word, but half of it is. But he said I could do it. And it just takes grind and it takes, you know, experience and conveying emotion behind camera, which I'm doing right now. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, y'all keep up because I ain't finna be in the same place for a while. I'm finna be moving along and I'm finna be moving along fast. Prestige worldwide. Shout out Will Ferrell.
Moving on up to the east side. You know what I'm saying?
Moving quick.
Man, you came in here with the energy. Like, this is the real life energy right here. We half virtual, half real life. So we like when we can do something in real life, man. We glad to have you on here for sure, man.
Uncut.
What are some of the things you have to do to prepare for certain roles?
Man, it all depends. I got a movie coming up right now, and I can't say the name. Can't say who it's directed by, but I can tell you how I prepared for it. I auditioned for this movie 2 years ago. It is a historical movie, and it is based on a true story. This movie, the way I prepared for it is, first off, I had to meet. Matter of fact, I had to read this book about the man. And when I read the book about the man, I read it again. Then when I read the book about the man again, I read it another time. I read it three times over. And I went back, took notes, put some notes down. I even went as far as to writing a speech. You know, he had a speech in the book. And I took the speech. I used a couple of words he used in different chapters, put it in the speech, and I created a monologue with it. And I performed the monologue in front of the author of the book, as well as the director of the movie, of the soon-to-be movie. And I booked the role by showing how diligent and how serious I was about it. My preparation, I'm reading this book. I'm already ahead of everybody. I'm exercising for the role. I'm doing push-ups. I'm running several miles. You know what I'm saying? I'm exercising on a different level, doing calisthenics, eating different. Some of the stuff I picked up from Jaden Smith, I had to start doing that for this role. At the time, what I did was I cut out all meat, all dairy, all animal products just for this role, because this role requires me to have adequate stamina. It requires me to have a less amount of mucus than normal. You know, when you're going plant-based, there's, you know, the mucus buildup is a little bit, you know, stagnated. Also, I had to, my mind, clarity is everything. So when you eat, you know, what you think about has a lot to do with what's in your gut, you know. When you're eating different and you're eating healthier, it clears the mind. So I was eating a lot of watermelon, oranges, dates, kale. Fun fact, kale has more protein than an 8 ounces of kale, 8 ounces of steak. That kale is going to have more protein than that steak. So I advise people to move towards plant-based diets. I'm still working on it myself. I ain't perfect. But
8 ounces of kale, that's a lot of kale, though.
It's a lot of kale. But 8 ounces of steak is a lot of steak, too. People going to choose that steak over that kale. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about, you know, pick your poison. You know what I'm saying? It ain't going to taste good, but it's going to do you good. That steak going to taste good, but it's going to cause mucus. So in that way of thinking, in order for me to prepare for this role, I had to change my diet in a nutshell. Change my diet. I had to create a workout regimen. I had to basically just get on schedule with preparing, reading, working out, eating, spending time with family, asking questions about history, you know, taking extra history lessons, you know, YouTube University, You know, just doing intense research is a part of my preparation as well. So it's so many different things that you can like, it's so many different ways to prepare for a movie. That's just one example. And it's like, it's an ever learning process. There's new ways of, and then also doing improv classes. That's another thing. A lot of people forget to do that. You need that formal training. I don't care how good you are. You need formal training and you need to take classes. It could be private lessons, but take classes, because at the end of the day, you're going to forget, you know, some principles of, you know, being an actor. You need to keep those in mind. So improv classes and formal training altogether. So yeah, that's my preparation for getting into different roles.
Is that filming complete for whatever movie you're referring to?
No, that's actually, it's coming. It's coming up. We're about to start. We're about to get into production. It was actually, the movie was so big, we had to, you know, create a really, 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 really big budget for it. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be no normal movie. It's going to be a movie. Like, this ain't no short film or nothing. This is going to be, like, people who probably in different countries going to hear about it. So it's probably going to be, it's definitely going to be my breakthrough role for sure.
Hey, for sure. We got to get you up on here again once.
Oh, yeah, for sure. After the movie, I'm coming back. 1409 Podcast. We lit. For sure. For sure.
Drop that, man. Yeah. Yeah, man. We in there. Man, that was a lot. It sounds like you're going to be doing stunts. You got to do all that exercise and all that. We're going to see what happens. Sound like it's going to be a lot of action. I'm not trying to pry too much, but I'm trying to pry. But I know you signed the NDA, so I'm not going to jeopardize that. So.
Yeah, man. It's so much to be excited about this year, because I got so many unreleased projects and I got big projects in the making. And while we here in this subject, I want to talk about something that, you know, happened to me that's really big. I just signed to an agency in Atlanta.
Okay, you know, that's Black Hollywood right there. So
for sure. I just signed to an exclusive agency in Atlanta, Georgia. And it was the craziest thing, because it was the way I did it. You know what I'm saying? They saw me perform for somebody else, and they loved my performance. You know, like, wow, they seen something in me. Mm-hmm. But not only that, I had the right people backing me. I had the right people backing me. And, you know, like I said earlier, half the job is just knowing people. So with that combination, I was at the right place at the right time as well. The right person happened to see me, and they gave me a contract. And so I'm now signed with that agency. I don't want to say the name of the agency yet, because once I book my first big gig with the agency, then I'll announce it. But I'm also with a new management. I just signed with a new management, Tassel Talent Management. Shout out my management group. Shout out Gail. Shout out Jen. Shout out Karen. Shout out Miss Diamond. Shout out Miss Carissa. The agency, y'all, I love y'all, and I appreciate y'all for believing in me and that I could get the job done, and that I'm you know, a benefit to the team. I appreciate y'all, but that's a really big move for me, because a lot of people in Huntsville don't have the type of agency I have or the type of management I have.
How important is it for you to have a solid team behind you?
It's everything. Having a great team behind you, backing you, is everything, because it's going to determine where you're going to end up within the next year, where you're going to end up within the next month. My team told me it only takes one job to change your life.
Yeah, that one breakthrough.
It takes one job to create a breakthrough. That's it. And you on. Look at Jabari Banks. Look, he on Bel Air. He good. Mm-hmm. He eating. You know what I'm saying? Look at...
all those actors on there. Like
All of them. Yeah. Every last one of them. They good. And then when you get on Disney Channel, after Kevin Quinn got on Bunked, he was straight. He was set up after that. He could go, I hate when people bash Ice Cube. Y'all remember the movie Friday? We all do.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
On the first Friday, everybody was talking about how Ice Cube wasn't paying them, which he was. Here's the thing. When you get put on, when you get a chance to get put on a map, money becomes secondary. Your job Matter of fact, I won't even say your job. Your goal should be, okay, I get in this movie. I perform well. I can go. And it's like going to college. Once you go there, your goal is to be able to go anywhere you want in life. That is, that right there is the whole basis of this industry, is that one breakthrough job. And I applaud Ice Cube for giving Chris Tucker, John Witherspoon, everybody that was a part of that cast a chance to show what they have to offer in the industry. And from that point on, not to say that they already didn't have careers, but for a lot of those people, they could go anywhere they wanted in Hollywood, for that matter, in the whole, you know, U.S. Because they were known, you know, they got put on. It was a breakthrough job, you know. And like I said, with Kevin Quinn, Disney, you know, bunked, he got put on. And he could go anywhere he wanted, you know. So it's just, you know, that's something people forget, you know. That's some things people take for granted in this industry, too.
That sounds like being present is a present, if you get what I'm saying. Being present for those roles became a present. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It became a gift.
It really was. It's a gift. It's a blessing and a curse, because it's like Blueprint. Mm-hmm. Shout out Jay-Z, Blueprint too. Blessing and a Curse is an album.
Because even like with Next Friday, some people had their breakout roles. Mike Epps, Michael Blackson.
Mike Epps is a prime example. I'm glad you mentioned him, because Mike Epps was hilarious in that Next Friday. What was it, Next Friday? Was it called Next Friday?
Yeah, Next Friday and Friday After Next.
Yep. Yeah, he killed it. So that's a prime example. Shout out Mike Epps.
And then Friday After Next, Cat Williams, that was his breakout role for sure.
Yep.
So, yeah, you making some points. You definitely making some valid points there, man.
So, yeah, man, with this agency, it's actually tangible for me to actually book this Miles Morales role now. I got to audition for it. That's all they're doing for me. They're blessing me with auditions mm-hmm. that I wouldn't normally get from, you know, all these other agencies around here trying to sell placebo pills to people. But yeah.
Connections, man. How you feel about placebo pills, man? How you feel about that in this industry?
Man, people believe anything they see on the internet, for one. Mm-hmm. This generation is so tainted by what they see on the internet. And the industry is taking a hit for that too. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of the movies we watch, some of the actors and actress have, like, they have private lives, and a lot of people from the outside be like, oh no, they're Illuminati, they're this, they're that, because they're this rich, or they're, it's just, people gonna believe what they want to believe. You know what I'm saying? And as the internet grows and becomes the number one power in this world, placebo pills only get, you know, stronger and stronger. And I honestly think it's BS. You know what I'm saying? Like last night, you know how many memes I've seen on the internet about Will Smith? Mm-hmm.
I seen a few of them, man.
they like, people will look at the surface. We talked about this earlier. People will look at the surface. People will see him slapping Chris Rock. I was going to say Chris Tucker. People see him slap Chris Rock, but they don't know the backstory. They don't know how this has been boiling their blood. They don't know what their private lives are in that Smith household. What prompted Will Smith to smack him? I don't think it was just that joke. It was an ongoing. I mean, I ain't gonna say it was an ongoing thing, but it could have been an ongoing thing. So the placebo pill is, he was just acting a fool. Nah, look at it from another lens. Look at it from another lens. Do diligent research before you just open your mouth and say something crazy like that. The internet, man. The internet is the placebo pill, if you ask me.
Yeah, because, so, you know, he's been saying, he says stuff about people, and he already said something about them before on other occasions, you know what I'm saying? So they know when somebody of that status says something about them, they're going to hear about it, or they're going to see it, they're going to check it out for themselves, and they're going to remember that.
Yep.
For sure.
That's, you know, that Oscars, this Oscars is the most watched Oscars in history too.
I bet it is, because I didn't even know it was on until I didn't even mean to do that, but yeah.
It's cool. It's a big subject for sure. Yeah, Oscars is important, and it turned into a comedy club.
Yeah, it quick. Did. What advice would you give to any upcoming actors out there?
Man, the advice I would give, and it's crazy, people ask me about, you know, getting into acting all the time. The best advice I would give you is build rapport with people. Don't be afraid to get outside of your comfort zone and meet new people. If you want to be an actor, if you want to be a, like I said before, if you want to be a race car driver, if you want to be a anything in life, get outside your comfort zone. Go and meet people. Talk to them. Get rejected. That's like, if you don't get anything from you know, from this, take this right here. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. If you don't take that leap of faith, you're 100% sure to miss your goal. However, if you try 10 times, you might miss 9 times, but you might make it that one time. So I say, don't be scared. Don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to succeed. Don't be afraid to walk through doors people open for you. In this industry, a closed mouth don't get fed. So I say, get outside of your comfort zone, meet and greet people, talk to people, and be yourself. Be yourself, because it's only one you. You only live once. You know, YOLO. You only live once. Yeah. So... be courageous and take that leap of faith, and don't be scared, and don't listen, like Will Smith, don't listen to the negativity. People going to be like, you know how long it takes for this to happen? You know, whoop-de-woo, this and that. You got to put on your blockers and have a straight vision of what you want. Write the vision, make it plain. It's in the Bible, and just do it. But yeah, that's my advice.
Words from a decent man, you know what I'm saying? Wise words from a decent man. That's what Drake said one time. Wise words from a decent man. Sure. Back when I was trying to put a ring on Alicia's hand, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Man, artist right there.
For sure. Poetry. So you also have some barber skills, don't you?
I got a few skills here and there. I do my thing. You know, I grew up in a barber shop, so it kind of came to me. Watching my dad, even watching my brother. You know, I developed a trade of barbering, and I could put a mean fade on somebody. I could put a mean line on somebody. I could put a mean design on somebody. I do it all. I could replace your hair if you're missing some hair. I got you. If you need it, call me. But I'm stepping away from barbering though. In all honesty, and doing full time acting. But barbering is definitely something I'm gifted with. So I'm a licensed master barber in the state of Alabama. And I take pride in that, and that's what I do as apart from my acting.
Hey, for sure. And his father is actually my barber, so you know.
Yes, sir. You know Mike Sales, the number one barber in the world. If you ask me, can't nobody do what he do. Can't nobody do what he do.
Fire, man! I seen him in there. You know, what I'm saying, replacing some hair. I was like, damn.
Yeah, he do it, man. And the thing is, you'll never know when somebody got a hair replacement. You'll never know it until you walk in on them in the process. You'd be like, dang, I seen this dude last week. He had a whole, for real, he got a unit. They call it units. They call it non-surgical hair units. Or you could say non-surgical hair replacements, but that's what they are. You can have finger waves. You can have, you know, just.
I said finger waves.
You can have, you can have whatever. You can have dreads. You can have a ball cap. We do everything. If you don't want hair on purpose, we'll give you a ball cap, like a movie set. I don't know if anybody actually want that, but we can do it.
I mean, if you're playing the role of somebody that had that, like
you do biopic of Tupac or something, you could do it. We'll do it for you. We prestigious in what we do. We don't limit ourselves to just cutting hair. We will do we call it overall transformation. We'll do an overall transformation for you, for real. We just ain't gonna, you know, you pick your clothes, but. I could bring that to a set. That's why I like barbering, because I could actually bring that craft to any movie set I go to. I think it's dope. I'm going to use that one day.
Hey, big facts, man. We love what you're doing out here. We look forward to having you again. We're going to get into a little segment, you know what I'm saying? I think we got question of the day. My boy Gwala usually come through with the question of the day. Let me see if he's going to come through with that question of the day on this episode right here. Go tap in. Everybody, make sure y'all follow Anthony Sales on Instagram at The Real Anthony Sales. And make sure you follow his father, Mike Sales, on 10 Stacks. You know what I'm saying? Follow him on Instagram. Make sure y'all subscribe to his YouTube channel as well, at 10 Stacks. Let's see if Gwala comes through with the question of the day. He might have stepped away a little bit, so I'll come up with the question of the day today. And my question of the day for you is, if you could film anywhere in the world, where would you film?
LA.
LA? Okay.
I'm gonna tell you why. LA, the weather's perfect. Ain't no issue with weather. A lot of times when you get on set, a performance can be altered by the weather. If it's too cold, you can perform like you're too cold. If it's too hot, you can perform like you're exhausted. So LA would be the perfect balance. And another reason is I like the whole atmosphere of Los Angeles. I ain't never visited this place before, but I met a lot of people from LA and they seem different. You know, they have a distinctive, you know, personality about them. They all have that joyous, you know, attribute. And I just like, you know, how, you know, just free they seem. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I would love to move there one day anyway. I would love to reside in California, period. It's one of my dreams to move to Napa Valley, California. So that's another reason I would like to film in LA. And also Universal Studios is there, and I plan on doing work with Universal Studios very often. And I plan on doing a lot of work with Marvel Studios. I know they have a studio in Atlanta as well, but I mainly want to reside in Los Angeles, California, you know? So yeah, LA, I can see myself, you know, doing work out there. So yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty decent out there for sure, man. I've been out there a few times. So.
Now the pricing for houses, you know, the property tax and all that stuff, that's a whole nother subject.
I mean,
living, all that.
The pay rate should be higher since the expenses is high. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's more expensive because you can do more things out there than you can do in the cheaper states. You know what I'm saying? There's more things that are legal. That's how I look at it.
True. Can I throw in a bonus place too? I would like to do stuff in Houston.
Oh yeah, Houston is definitely one of my favorite cities.
Houston is huge, man. I would love to, like, I have a thing for big cities. So
600 square miles.
Yes, large. Everything is bigger in Texas. That's what they say. So yeah.
Yeah, definitely Houston. Definitely got it. Have you been there yet?
I've passed through there a few times. Yeah.
Okay, for sure. You're on the way to, okay, I got you.
Yeah, you feel me. You feel me.
You feel me.
Yeah.
All right, we got another question on here. This was the actual question that day Gwala came through with it. What advances in technology are you looking forward for in the future?
Ooh, cars specifically. I love Tesla, man. Tesla make. I'm a real big gearhead. I'm a car enthusiast, and I'm looking at, you know, I like to watch a lot of street races. I like to watch a lot of drag races. I like to watch a lot of drift trials, I'm a real big gearhead. I like cars in general. And I notice that Teslas are beating some of the highest horsepower cars, built cars, on the street. I look forward to what Elon Musk has up his sleeve for the next few Teslas. It's a Tesla called the P100D Plaid. And I think the 0-60 on it is dang near 1 second.
Damn.
And it's a family sedan. It's a sedan doing them numbers. But the thing about the electric cars, they have instantaneous torque. So it don't take nothing for them to launch off the line. It's crazy.
Yeah, I drove one and it definitely gets up, and it gets up quick.
Like, and like, that car is crazy, man. It's the maintenance. I wonder what the maintenance is like on one of those. That's something I'm curious about. I've never looked it up.
Just know there's no fluids except for windshield washer fluid. That's probably the only fluid that's in there.
Ain't no oil. You ain't got no lubricating. You ain't got no Mobil 1 or nothing. Just get up and go.
It shouldn't be no oil. It's electric. It's just batteries.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm thinking since you got like, I don't know. That's crazy.
Brake fluid. Okay, brake fluid. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe brake fluid too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that crazy? Ain't no. I might like electric cars, less maintenance. I don't know.
Yeah, there's definitely gonna be an advantage of electric cars, but I feel like you heard about Ford.
Yeah, the new Ford Lightning. I saw that. That's fine.
Nah, Ford is breaking off into two different sales. You got Ford Blue, and then you got Ford Model E. So Ford Model E will be all it's electric lines, the line of electric cars. Ford Blue will be the internal combustion engine vehicles. They'll be on that side. Ford Model E. So they're that's coming out with a whole bunch of models of electric cars by 2025.
That's actually and very
like, yeah.
It's very smart, actually.
Yeah, they branched it off, man. Just look that up when you get a chance.
Ford. So they won't actually be losing any, buyers from that because they'll have their conservative, diehard American Muscle fans on this side and have their, there are people who are advancing, want the technology of today, which is electric cars. It's kind of dope how they did. I like that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've happened to came across that on my phone one day, and it's like the actual Ford people talking about it. It's probably on their YouTube channel or something. But yeah, they're definitely doing that.
Okay. That's dope. Shout out Ford.
Advancing technology I'm looking for is I forgot the name of it. It's like some high-speed trains they're trying to get in Texas and California. I want to say it's called Hyperlink or something like that.
Them underground trains?
I don't even think they're underground, but they might be. It's called Hyperlink. You can get from like Houston to Dallas in 90 minutes or so. It's crazy.
Oh, that sounds dangerous.
It's crazy, for real. I don't even think it's underground.
That's real life. I don't know about that. We're going to have to wait. I'm going to have to let that, ride for a couple years before I get on one of those.
It's coming. It's coming for sure.
Right. Yeah.
So that's something I would like to see. So Guala said he saw the electric Hummer and the Silverado out there in Texas. So
That Hummer. I heard that Hummer is fed.
Yeah, I didn't see it in real life yet, but
it has a function on it called the crab walk.
Oh, yeah.
Where all the wheels turn. That's far. I want to see one of those in person, too.
Yeah, it's like, real. It's real out here. So electric is on the come up for sure.
Yeah, it's the new thing. It's the future.
What's your dream car?
Nissan. My dream car is the Nissan GTR. People don't know about that car.
Skyline GTR?
Skyline as well. Skyline GTR. Mainly the R35 GTR. That's the one of today, modern one. The last gen. So that's my dream car. I mean, it's a perfect balance. Power to weight is great. It's a coupe. A guy like me, I don't have any kids, no girlfriend, just me. It's a driver car. I could see myself driving that every day. Nissan GTR, perfect power. If I wanted to, I could turn it into a car that eats Hellcats, Chargers, and everything if I wanted to.
Hellcats, Demons, Chargers, Trackhawks.
All you got to do with that car is put a simple tune on it. You're good to go. You can make like 700, almost 800 horsepower. Maybe an E85 tune or something. Some methanol tune.
Hey, a little something like that. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm a gearhead. I like that type. I grew up off that. I grew up watching my dad build a Camaro, a 68 Camaro from ground up. And that kind of paved the way for me in the car industry. So
hey, shout out to Mike Sales, man. It's a real solid individual out here.
Yeah.
So man, how you feel about the new Nissan Z 400Z some people just call it the Z. Have you seen it?
I like the way it look. It kind of reminds me of the Datsun.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's kind of reminded me of the 300ZX too, because of the rear end, but it's a great car. I would have to see it in person. I haven't seen it in person yet, but I've seen pictures and stuff. So I'm gonna have to wait on my full opinion on the car.
Yeah, a lot I haven't seen it in person yet. So I gotta get out here to these car shows, man, because I like cars as well. So
it's some coming up. And speaking of cars, while we're on that subject, it's one of my goals to be a part of the Fast and Furious saga too. So hey, if y'all watching, Tyrese, if you watching, hey, Vin Diesel. Shout out Paul Walker, R.P. Paul Walker.
R.P.
If y'all know what it's like to be a gearhead without being able to show you're a gearhead, you know how I feel. I've been watching Fast and Furious since I was like 10 years old. I ain't ever think about being in the movie, but now that I'm doing my thing with my job as an actor, I want to get a part of Fast and Furious. I don't care what it is. Now, I'm trying to, like, bring it back. Like, hopefully they do a movie where they bring back the cars, because now they're just flying out of airplanes and stuff, which is cool. I ain't saying it's a bad thing, but
they doing all type of stunts in there. I don't know. You never seen nothing like that in real life.
Exactly. I'm trying to go back to, you know, to fast, like Tokyo Drift, you know, type feel.
Mm-hmm.
We're real gearheads, like we're actually watching a movie. I want to be a part of something like that. So if they got some, if Universal, if y'all got something up y'all sleeve, man, I'm going to have my people call your people. And we're going to make something happen. I'm serious, too. I want to be a part of Fast and Furious. That's like literally one of my biggest goals other than Spider-Man. So, yeah. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Whatever you want in life, I feel like you can get it. You just got to put yourself in the right positions, you know. That's how I feel.
And another thing is being ready for them. A lot of people want this and that. But when the time coming for you to actually show that, you know, you're qualified for that thing, a lot of people ain't ready. You know, being in the right place at the right time, all of those elements, when they join together, are you ready? A lot of people pray for stuff. I'm not a real spiritual. I'm not like trying to be super spiritual or nothing. But when people pray for stuff, they want really bad. And they pray, they come, like they repetitively praying and asking God, Lord, Lord, please bless me with this, bless me with this, bless me with that. And you don't even be ready to receive what you asking for. If you, God can't bless you with that job if you ain't ready, if you ain't been preparing for that job. And it's God's job to prepare you for it. But if you're negligent and don't want to actually prepare the way God wants to prepare you for that certain blessing, then, I mean, God can bless you with an opportunity. That's nothing. But you can really blow it. You can really, like, embarrass yourself. And God isn't in the business of embarrassing people. He's in the business of making, you know, people happy. So I wanted to throw that out there, too, for all the spiritual guys out there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We all been there. For sure.
Hey, you want to shout out? You want to shout out anybody? You know what I'm saying? Friends, family, cousins, brothers?
Man. First of all, shout out Marcus Burns. He the one who put me on everything. He put me on. Like, he put me on. Marcus Burns. Shout out Javen Cornelius for giving me my first, for giving me a chance, you know, to show what I have as an actor. Shout out Regina Miller. I want to talk about Regina Miller. Regina Miller is a very selfless human being, and I couldn't see how anybody could do her wrong. I couldn't see that. Great woman. She works at Village of Promise, a nonprofit organization. She had a dream. She still has that dream. It's ongoing to become an agent and to start her own agency, which she has done. And her second talent, technically. But as for her new company, Miller Talent Agency, back then when she first started, I was her first talent and she gave me a chance. She gave me a career development and she became my career development coach. And hands down, Regina Miller, you don't get enough credit for what you do. I appreciate you for everything you've done for me and for the people around me. You know, I appreciate you for your selflessness. So Regina Miller, Marcus Burns, Risha Archibald for Bounce TV's Johnsons. You the GOAT.
Wait, you on Bounce TV?
No, that's the EP for Bounce TV. She put me on too.
Okay.
Risha Archibald put me on the management and the agency I'm with. Shout out Risha Archibald. Shout out Marcus Burns. Shout out Regina Miller. Shout out my dad for believing in me and helping me pursue my goals. Shout out my mom. Shout out my grandparents. Shout out my brother for, you know, for helping me big time when I needed him the most. Shout out, you know, like I said, Jen, Karen, Diamond, you know. Shout out all y'all, Miss Carissa, for guiding me in the right direction to help me actually prestige. Shout out Kevin Quinn. Bro, shout out Roman White. Roman White, Kevin Quinn, and Mr. Vasquez, all of you together have boosted my career. If it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be here right now. Seriously. And shout out Sampley Baranaga. Sampley, he's a local actor here as well. Heavy hitter in this Southeast area. Go check his movie out on us in the theaters. 12 Mighty Orphans. Go check him out in your local theater. You'll see him. Sampley Baranaga. Remember the name.
For sure, man.
Shout out. One more shout out. This is important. Shout out. Dog. I got so many people that helped me to get to where I'm at. Shout out Jurian Isabel, man. And the Isabel brothers. Y'all do y'all thing out there. Y'all ain't afraid to show the world what y'all got going on. Like God of Dreams. Y'all ain't afraid to show the world y'all's dreams. Jurian, I appreciate you for giving me a chance. And we're going to make history again. Shout out Dr. Eddie Davis. Shout out to everybody that was involved, you know, in creating and making my career a blissful process. Shout out to all y'all. And more to come. I'm telling y'all, I'm not trying to, you know, build my head up or nothing like that. I'm telling y'all, man, I'm hungry. I gotta eat, man. I'm gonna make something happen. I put on for my city. I love Huntsville, Alabama, and I want to put on for my city. And I want to be the next heavy hitter out of the state of Alabama. So, y'all gonna see me in some places, you know, that are very high up there. And I need y'all support. I need the whole city of Huntsville to support the movement, to support my career, and show the world that Huntsville got talent. That's my goal. And yeah, shout out Huntsville, Alabama, born and raised, Rocket City, 2000, October 25th.
For sure, 2000 baby out here, man. Doing the thing, man. You know what I'm saying? The 2000 babies is coming up out here. You know what I'm saying? So watch out. Watch out for Anthony Sayers. He's going to be taking over, taking the game by storm out here. Who'd you like to see on 1409 Podcast in the near future?
To be honest, I want to see who got to see on 1409 Podcast? Donald Glover. Both me and him on the same podcast.
On same episode?
Same episode. For me and sure. Donald Glover. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
For sure. Anything is possible out here. You know what I'm saying?
Ain't nothing out, man. Being on that set with Kevin Quinn, man, they showed me anything is possible. These folks out here doing it. And I got to see those people firsthand. I'm like, dang, we can do it too. Mm-hmm. It just takes being in the right place at the right time and capitalizing and having the right people behind you. Anything is possible, literally. I was talking to, shout out Diallo Thompson. I was talking to Diallo. He actually starred on Barbershop 3. He was in the same room as Ice Cube. He said, man, when I saw Common, I went, like, and he said, no, he said, when I saw Ice Cube, I went crazy. He said, his dad said, keep your cool. Act like you've been there before. But he was around Kylie Jenner, because at the time, Tyga was dating Kylie Jenner, and Tyga was in the movie Barbershop 3. Mm-hmm. He got to see Nicki. He got to see Common. He got to see Cedric. He got to see everybody. So they people just like us. They wake up every day and they just have opportunities. Anything is possible, man, at the end of the day. It's just whenever it's your time, it's your time.
Already. Hey, man. Make sure y'all follow Real Anthony Sayers on Instagram. You know, make sure y'all continue to follow him on his growth and on his journey. Make sure y'all continue to support him. You know what I'm saying? Tune into his movie, God of Dreams, on Prime Video. We're going to check that out in a few minutes.
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah, y'all check out God of Dreams, man. It's a must watch. Y'all check out Kevin Quinn. It's about time we hit 500,000 in less than, a month and a half? We hit 500,000 views. Y'all go check that out. It's a heavy hitter. It's on Vevo. You can see that on YouTube, Spotify, everywhere. Every platform you can think of, you can watch it on. Also, I mean, y'all stay tuned with the new series I'm on, Black Shiro. I play the role of Trip, which is Tammy Townsend's son, lead in the show. And it's a must watch. It's a drama. It's very gritty. It's very edgy. I think y'all enjoy it. Y'all stay in tune, man, because this is some crazy stuff that's going to go down in this series. Also, y'all stay up on my Instagram, because I will post what I have going on there. You know, anything I have coming up, you will see it. Also, y'all make sure y'all just really in the nutshell, y'all make sure y'all stay in the loop. But it's on like popcorn, man. It's on like popcorn. We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere, man. It's live. 1409 podcast. You heard it first.
Already. Make sure y'all follow us on Instagram as well. 1409 podcast. Follow my boy Guala Meets World, one half of the 1409 podcast. Make sure y'all tune into his music on all the streaming platforms. Make sure you follow me on Instagram at 843 Ambassador. Follow my real estate page as well at Turner the Realtor. You know what I'm saying? And just like that, it's the 1409 podcast, and we out.
It's a wrap. Hey.